lovely ball out to the left-hand side for Robinson to drive over the cross, and Lewis Graben tucks it at the back post. What a goal that is! What a start for Forest.
This episode for the Forest Fancast, supported by Boot Bags, unique and modern shoe bags, fashionable, durable, washable, online, bootbags.us.
City ground, Ole Miss rolling in from the trends. My desire is always to be here, oh city ground.
I'm Ryan Yates, and you're listening to Forest Fancast in North America.
Hey guys, it's the Forest Fancast. Tonight we have a special guest. Dan from NYC is with us, and Jordan, of course, is here. Mark is on a dinner date with coworkers, so he's going to be a little bit late tonight. But we want to kind of help Derby fans, Jordan, kind of get over such a disappointing loss. It was just... I mean, I feel bad for them, don't you?
Oh, yeah, really sorry for them. You know, they played the youngest squad. Oh, no, wait, they didn't.
Right.
They made lots of changes to their team. Oh, wait, so did Forrest. Their captain ended up with a bleeding neck after a bust-up with the ground staff, and they didn't win the Brian Clough Trophy. So,
yeah,
really feeling sorry for them right now.
We'll bring Dan in on this. Dan, there's a song that's just in my head that really might help them get past this embarrassing loss. It kind of goes like this. It's always look on the bright side of life.
Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle. That's the thing.
So there you go. That's the new song for our lead in today. It is really pick your heads up, Derby. You got a long season of disappointment coming. Forest is on the way, baby, right?
So what's the bright side for Derby? That's the question.
They didn't lose a player to our ground crew.
Wow. Yeah. Completely. That was a fantastic picture, though. I hate to genuinely, I'm never one on Twitter to kind of jump on like random acts of violence or anything like that. But it's just fantastic. There's just something about it where I saw this picture of the ground staff with this blooded garden implement, and then Keo with blood in his neck. Just look that face that he has every time we do this to him. And I couldn't help but just be more happy than I was with the 3-0 just by seeing that as well. So it's the gift that keeps on giving.
You know what they say, Jordan, don't be a Richard.
I can't believe the CCTV footage from the stadium hasn't been released of that act of violence or mythical blooded neck, because honestly, if I worked on the security staff at Forest, I'd be releasing that everywhere. I'd be like so amazed at what happened. Yeah, we're not condoning violence at all by any means, but like Dan said, it's pretty funny.
It is pretty funny. And honestly, they should release the video, and the person that releases the video should get fired, but then promoted, right?
Yeah. Fired from that one role, but then, get rewarded in a different way.
Yeah, and then we talk about the Derby debacle. Nobody picked it up on TV, which I find completely crazy, because there wasn't an overwhelming Premier League team playing another team that really made any sense, and there weren't any other rivalries like ours was, and the crowd was insane and sold out, and I didn't understand why it wasn't on TV.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think probably the big piece is, you know, both our league games will be on TV, and showing the same tie three times in a season, you know, probably wasn't as appetizing for the broadcasters. But there's, I think people back home probably don't understand, I think, the pain we have where, you know, usually we have iFollow that we have for every league game. I don't know why they don't do that for the League Cup. It's the EFL. It's the same organisation. We are only at the mercy of radio and highlights for this game, unfortunately, for our analysis, as much as it would have been nice to have seen the demolition of Derby. So a bit of a rant from me, and it's unfortunate that we weren't able to really see the game, but we've got a great result at the back of it. And hopefully the authorities see in the future that, you know, these cup games can be shown on iFollow and the fans internationally have an opportunity to watch them.
Also, I mean, you can't tell me that iFollow can't stick a high school production person up there with that one camera view that makes everybody nauseous and get it done. I mean, they didn't really care about, was it the Fulham game? It was just like, ugh, it was like almost vomiting because it was moving around so much, wasn't it?
The only thing that was more vomit inducing than that was the GIFs you were using to try and explain that, which, I mean, I had like Twitter on one screen and the game on another screen. Between them, I felt like I'd just come off some like ride at Alton Towers or Six Flags or something.
Yeah, and adding that extra 8 minutes at the end, yeah, it was just like a nightmare combo of the gifts, the camera angle, and nervousness of holding onto a lead.
Well, we'll get into the Derby match a little bit more in just a minute. We're going to go backwards on this podcast in terms of excitement. We're going to get into the dismantling of Derby. A wild away win at Craven Cottage versus Fulham. That was an amazing game, jumping off your couch. And once again, you were waiting and waiting and waiting for the damn game to end. We're going to go over the thievery of a point versus Charlton, another London match. We try to remember what happened against Birmingham. That was match was so long ago, but Google is going to help us out with that. Jordan, we have Mark is not with us yet. He'll be joining us for the podcast, and we'll eagerly await yet another British person to be on the podcast. If there was a fight, you guys would royally whip my ass today. So we've got 5-star review.
Hello.
Yes, I've got a 5-star review for the Forest Fancast.
You have? They'll be totally discreet. Thank you. We got one!
You ready for this? It was on Apple Podcasts, Left Side Store. STORR. Their comment was, what a blinding NFFC podcast from three very different corners of North America. Looking forward to hearing more as the season unfolds. It's going well, right? That's a good review so far, Jordan, right?
I'll tell you what, we owe someone another $50, don't we, for those kind of reviews right now.
Okay, but then it keeps going. And it says, when will Corey be ready to learn about the legend of Brian Rice?
Oh,
Left Side Store, I got this. Okay, hold my beer. He's a Scottish footballer. He's from Belleshill, home of the Soup Dragons and Drambuie. Okay, I knew that, right? Drambuie is there in the heart of Belleshill. He is now the manager of Hamilton Academical, and he was a Forest player from 85 to 91, played 115 times, 12 goals. I have learned something rather interesting about Brian Rice. Dan, are you ready for this, Dan?
Go for it.
Number one is Brian Rice. Number two is Brian Rice. Do you know this?
I can see where it's going.
Number three is Brian Rice. And number four is Brian Rice. You ready? Everybody, Mark, join in. We all live in a world of Brian Rice. A world of Brian Rice. We moved on from Kevin Campbell, Mark. You missed out. So anyways, that was a 5-star review that was left. They said, I need to learn a new player, and it happens to be Brian Rice. So I'm going to go down the road singing that for a long time. It's awesome.
Fantastic goal away at Arsenal. Look that one up.
Mark, how are you?
This is how dedicated I am to this podcast. I'm not even yet at my hotel, and I have you on my cell phone.
Yeah, there's usually a late arriver on the podcast, so this time it's Mark. It's all good. For the Derby game, we want to say thank you to Talk Sport and Radio Nottingham for the radio feeds. What a mash. We all wish we could have seen it live. We're going to get into the Derby match first. We're going backwards today in terms of, short-term memory people. So we're just going to go with what we remember most recently. So pretty good lineup for us. Samba and goal, Cash, Warhol, Figueredo, Ribeiro, Bostock, let's see, Semedo, Johnson, Adama, Lolly, and Mir. And what a bench we had for the game. I'll skip the goalie that was on the bench, but grab on Carvalho, Jenkinson, Amiobi, Silva, Kemba. The stats, pretty even for the game. 15-12 on shots in favor of Forrest, 53% possession. 5 shots on target for Forrest, none for Derby at all. That has to do with youth, right?
Yeah, so that's 24-year-olds.
Yeah, that's right. Not 23.7, right? That's still 23.6. That was their error.
Yeah, and then corners, we each had 5 fouls. Was pretty hefty. I thought it was a pretty aggressive game. There were a lot of good fouls. 14 for us and 15 for Derby. Yellow cards, 3 for Derby. No red cards. So let's kind of get into what we saw in this demolishing of Derby.
Yeah, so based on my, you know, exhilarating 2.5 minutes of highlight footage and radio commentary. You know, really, really great result. So 3-0 against Derby. We'll take that every day of the week. Philip Cocu cocked up his team selection for, you know, a local Derby. And, you know, amazing to actually get a big, big result against Derby. Since the 5-2 a long time ago, this was just phenomenal. When I read through some of the reviews and other pieces, you know, we had Ribeiro flying down the left wing. We had Semedo dominating midfield. We had our King Carvalho back, and Corey can speak more about his, you know, mystic moments with Carvalho over the past few days. You know, I think we absolutely battered them. And considering we had the younger team, you know, the Brian Clough trophy stays with us. So phenomenal. And when we kind of go through then each of the goals. So, you know, first goal, Albert Adoma finishing off a cross, phenomenal start. Also Ghanaian linking to Junior Agogo in terms of the symmetry here. And there's a fantastic tweet on Twitter, and I should have read it out, but apologies for whoever wrote it. But second goal then, number 23, Junior Agogo's number, Joe Lolly then finishing off a header. I think one of the first in his career, according to the Forest tweets, from Adoma's crossed again with his utter wizardry down the left wing, killing the Derby kids down their right-hand side. Junior Agogo's number. And then the third goal, you know, I don't think Carvalho scored a better goal in his career, if I'm honest. And the 79th minute for Junior Agogo, being born in 1979. So, you know, phenomenal tribute to Agogo, phenomenal battering of Derby. Great to see Carvalho back. Lots of positives for me when I look across, you know, the whole team. And, you know, if only Rafa Mir could score goals rather than blazing it over like his amazing flick against Birmingham. And then again, he had a great chance early in the game yesterday. Sounded like an absolute rout.
So, Mark, why don't you go ahead and jump in?
So, yeah, I second everything Jordan just said. Just a fantastic time to be a Forest fan. Whisper it, guys. I'm wondering whether or not our manager knows what he's doing. We could be on to something. I want to highlight just 3 players very quickly. You've already touched upon them. Adama has been fantastic. I think when he joined Forest, we were all scratching our heads a little bit, saying, okay, yeah, he's a seasoned player. He's done well at this level before, but how much more does he really left? How much does he have left in the tank? He's answered that emphatically this season. What a great addition to the team. And not only that, the nicest man in football as well. You've got to love players that play with a smile on their face. Brendan Johnson getting his first professional start. Great seeing Jono out there, obviously. Another connection to a former Forest legend. And again, seeing the smile on his face at the final whistle. That is something that the young man will not forget in a hurry. Stuffing Derby in that fashion, being a part of that. Magnificent. And I have to pick up on the comments of Rafa Mir. I know right now it looks like he can't hit a barn door. Well, he couldn't hit his own ass with his own hand by the looks of things. But if you watched him in the highlights, he really put himself about. He was central to a lot of what Forrest were creating in the final third. He's a bloody handful, and defenders are rightfully worried about him. And I think he's an important piece of the team right now. So his goals will come. Undoubtedly, when he does finally score, it's going to be something spectacular. It's going to be something Zlatan-esque. But I like him, and I like what he's contributing to the team overall right now. So great team performance all around. But those are just 3 guys I wanted to highlight in particular.
All right, Mark, with the first MLS reference to you. Dan, what about you?
So I think the big thing is, for me, it's a continuation of what's happened. And you know, we'll talk about the Birmingham and the Charlton and the Fulham games, but it's this continuation of basically having units that seem solid. So we've got you know, two centre backs who have looked decent. Figueiredo's come in, and you didn't notice any difference. So it's good to have like some kind of continuity where you feel comfortable. Same at left back, same at right back. And then you look at the front three, and I think it used to be a problem for us more than anyone else about who we picked and how they would work together. At the moment, I think people are probably thinking, oh God, they've got Adoma, they've got Amiobi, they've got Lolly, they've got Silva. How do we mark them? Who do we control? If they bring a sub on, what do they do differently? And it just looks like those guys are going to terrorize some people once they get into kind of their momentum. And I think we're seeing that now, with especially with set pieces. You look at Lolly and Silva, the corners and the free kicks they're throwing in are bagging as goals that we just weren't getting from those scenarios before. You know, I think it's one every game at the moment in terms of the set pieces. So continuation of that has been it was a good showing all round from that respect. And I did enjoy Carvalho getting hit in the face with a ball on the bench. If you've seen that footage on the
phenomenal
media thing, and the general kind of camaraderie that sends you back to West Brom last year when they had that bench cam showing the players on the bench actually caring about what's happening as well. So I think that was a good sign. So
Dan, did you see the comment on Instagram? So they put that footage on Instagram as well, and Matty Cash was giving Carvo a hard time, and Carvo's response was, "I'm not a goalkeeper."
Yeah, well, let's just be glad it didn't hit Muric, eh? How that would have ended.
Let's just be glad it didn't injure Carvo.
Well, yeah, that's true.
The thing I took away from the match was Uncle Albert going down the line and getting that ball to Lolly the way he did. Was that a Meg on the sideline or not?
Yes, it was.
Man, he really did. That was special. We've got some dancers on the team this year. Amiobi's kind of the same way. He's gonna hurt you, go around you, pirouette around you. It doesn't matter. And those balls are really coming in, and the service has been pretty good. I'm pretty happy with the way Lolly jumped from, I don't know, 20 feet away to head that one in. It was a long way. And it's just it's exciting the way the balls are getting to our strikers and we're finishing them, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think the overarching piece for me and the biggest bit out of this game is the breadth of the squad. I know I complained and been the chieftain of like, hey, we've got a 45-player squad or something crazy. Like, it's far too big. I think with the focus squad we have of, you know, 25 players, we have really strong quality. People are able to replace each other. The big thing for me again is I feel we have our identity back now, similar to when Karanka was starting to develop. We've got a similar formation here. We've got a style. We've got an identity. We've got a way that we play. People can now just slot in and out of various positions. And I think we're starting to reap the rewards of that. Maybe where we took a step back towards the latter half of last season, I really feel like we're starting to get back into our mojo. And, you know, when you think about our first five league games baptized, actually we've come out with quite a few great results. So I think the overarching piece for me is that reassurance from today as well.
All right. So by winning this match, we move on to September 22nd, 23rd, and we pull Arsenal in the next round. For me, that's kind of like when I was birthed as a Forest fan, really. So once again, thank you to Jordan and Mark for the kit that I'm wearing today. It is the Lehigh jersey. I love it. And so I'm pretty excited. I might have to take the day off that day.
It's going to be a fun day. And, you know, these are the kind of cup ties where I really feel like I was back being part of the London Trickies, because that's a phenomenal away day for those guys. They've had Charlton and Fulham this past week, and now they're going to get to go to Arsenal. So yeah, shout out to my former clan, the London Trickies, and I hope they have a phenomenal day out. And yeah, it feels like we only ever play three teams in cup ties every season. It's either Arsenal, Newcastle, or Chelsea. So yeah, we've hit the Forest cup tie bingo, I think, in the third round already.
I can't wait to see the Louise Neer matchup.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Louise might not play. Dan, what one player would we not want playing for Arsenal during this match?
So do you know what? I haven't followed the ins and outs of what's happened at Arsenal recently. I would have said Ozil, but there's still some weird stuff going on with him, right? In terms of that, the whole thing that happened around the carjacking and then various gang-related stuff in London. So I don't know if that was someone. I don't know whether, Corey, you'd got your crystal ball out a few months ago, saw this coming, and
rained. I don't know.
Albanian terrorists to take care of them. But I think, to be honest, we've got to be wary of the traditional Arsenal players who are small, quick, and are going to turn people like Dawson and Worrell, you know, no disrespect to them, but inside out when you put them up and play a high line or anything like that. So, but I think it's an interesting one because you've got nothing to lose, right? It's going to be a weeknight game. It's going to be the first time Forest have ever played at the Emirates, from what I gather. It's a, you know, a good, there's going to be a huge away following, I'd imagine, because of that. I'm not holding out any hope that we're going to get an amazing result out of it, but at the same time, I think it gives us an opportunity to play some of those players, like, you know, play Arsenal at their own game to some degree, with Silva and Carvalho coming back, might still want some minutes, you know, for him. And maybe that might just give them a bit of a shock, a bit of a wake-up call, and give those players a bit of time to express themselves versus the bit more hustle-bustle championship that they're coming up against week in, week out. So I'm back the week before that, and unfortunately I'm going to be flying back to the US just before it, and I don't think I can extend, but I'm with Jordan on this one, which is it's a London Trickies day out that I'm wishing I was at.
You know, that makes a really good point, which is it'll be really interesting to see up close how Forest players do against some Premier League quality. When recently the Colorado Rapids hosted Arsenal in an exhibition match, otherwise known as the Cronky Cup, the Rapids pulled out. They have an official affiliation with the Colorado Springs Switchbacks. Of course, we Jordan Schweitzer and Shane Malcolm are boot bags boys.
That's right.
Play for the Switchbacks. They actually got called up to play with the Rapids that day against Arsenal. So Schweitzer actually got to play an entire half against the Arsenal midfield. And I talked to him afterwards. He got to switch jerseys with Aubameyang, which was obviously a big high for him. But he said, you know, up close and personal, you really start to appreciate just how well, like, and how quickly these boys handle the ball. And they're just on a different level altogether. So it'll be fascinating. You know, a lot of our Forest players are seasoned. You know, they've been up in the Premier League or there or thereabouts, whether they've been squad players or whether they actually had a good run up there, like Jenkinson for Arsenal. So it'll be interesting, though, to see how the Forest lads' current squad match up against Arsenal, knowing that they are a top-level Premier League team.
Let's go back to Fulham. We're going to do something that probably, I don't know if we'll do again this year, because this goal was special.
That's a Forest Championship goalkeeper. Played against Fleetwood in the League Cup. And he's cleared this out to the left-hand side for Amiobi, who controls, knocks it back into his own half, and now Silva flips it back for Worrell. Worrell switches it from the left side of the field to the right for first Dawson, and now Jenkinson. Jenkinson down the line to Lolly. Lolly plays a first-time 1-2 with Sow, wriggles away from a couple of challenges, then plays a 1-2 with Silva, and then a lovely ball out to the left-hand side for Robinson to drive over to cross, and Lewis Graben tucks it at the back post. What a goal that is! What a start for Forest! Graben gets his third goal of the season, and that's brilliant football.
All right, so Dan, walk us through that goal. It was amazing. It looked like everybody touched the ball.
Yeah, so I'll try and talk you through it. But yeah, so we start at the back, ball with the keeper. Been pretty impressed with Samba so far. But interestingly, when we say playing out from the back, it was actually a kick into their half that started it. Amiobi did well to win it. Ball was played back to Robinson. And then there was kind of a forward and then back ball to Dawson, to Worrell, swept it across the back to Dawson, out onto the right-hand side. And for most of this, when you actually look at it, I watched it probably more than I should have done, but I think most Forest fans on social media have done as well. Most of the passing is actually pretty simple, right? And there was a key bit in this move when Lolly got the ball where you see him play 2-1-2s, and the first one is very nice. The second one into feet with Silva and back again. But if you look how we basically carved us our way up that pitch, it was down to Lolly. Lolly basically took us from just inside our own half to the edge of their box, played this lovely ball out then to Robinson once he got the ball back off Silva. And then that cross from Robinson, I think he's underrated as well, because he's got a serious delivery on him. And that ball to the back post, you always know Graben's going to be on it. And he just had to, I say, tap in. It was still, when you see the replay, it was still a few feet off the floor, so it still took some skill to get that in. And then you see Amiobi at the end as they all run off, wanting to get one more touch and put the weakest of shots back into the goal as well as he runs away. He should have hammered that. My only criticism, Amiobi should have absolutely hammered that into the top of the net as everyone ran off to celebrate. But no, it's a fantastic goal. Touches all around the team. And I think to do it against a team like Fulham as well is quite a good sign for what's going to come through the season. But the second goal, I won't go into the second goal, but again, if you look at how we won the ball back and we pressed deep, that's the other end of it where I think, you know, Lamucci's obviously got more than one plan. And, you know, you press high up, you know, Fulham are going to go from the back. You win the ball high up a bit like the Red Bulls do over here. High press, win the ball back, and you know Graben's going to do the business that way as well. So two goals actually that show two different styles of our ability to get goals, which is good to see.
Yeah, and I think just building on those two pieces, as we look over the kind of four games as well here, you know, Lolly and Robinson had really bad off days in Leeds, which is the last game we kind of covered on the podcast. I think ever since then, they've both really taken it up a gear. I think they've found their feet again and putting in fantastic performances. And I think that was underlined with Fulham, where most things went through Lolly or Robinson whenever we showed promise moving up the field. Bruce Samba, I think it's Bruce, isn't it? I think we should go with for the French stuff. Was phenomenal. I thought he had an excellent full league debut for us, and I'm excited to see what he does for us moving into future and more games. Graben is back to his best, just getting goals for us, and I put a bit of a tweet out about Bruce Samba having the fastest rise to cult hero status since Chris O'Grady at QPR away a few years ago, but I think he's going to win a few fans over this season.
The stats for this match are kind of crazy. The final score is all that really matters, 2-1 in favor of Forest, but 77% possession for Fulham, 20 shots to R11, 6 shots on target to R3, 13 corners to R1. I mean, really, Mark, how did we win the game?
That's a very good question. I think no Forest fan could disguise the fact that we weren't, I mean, as far as the stats are concerned, we weren't the better team on the day. But at the end of the day, it's what you do with the ball. It's ensuring you make the most of the possession that you have. I want to just circle back to something that Dan said there in regards to Lolly. Yes, he's absolutely right. All the passing leading up to Lolly's engagement with that first goal move. It was very, very straightforward. But the minute Lolly got the ball, that's where the magic happened. And I think the thing that's most exciting about us right now is even those games where we're maybe lagging on possession, we're not getting the sights on goal, we have at least three players now in Lolly, King Carvo, and Ami Obi, who can turn it on. Who, once they get the ball in the opposition's half, can find that extra yard, can find that extra step, can accelerate away from their markers and start to cause havoc. And I will say as well, and I said this at the time, Corey, and I think you turned green when I said it. Robinson's cross, I propose to it. I intend to marry it. I'll be having children with it. It is an absolute thing of beauty. Phenomenal. Dan said it, that cross was underrated. He's absolutely right. That was the best part of the entire move. Absolutely gorgeous. And I think as long as we can still continue to capitalize on those moments, regardless of whether or not we're bossing possession, because moving through this season, we're not going to in every game. But if we can continue to capitalize on those moments, we're going to be all right.
Yeah, and I think just building on the stats piece as well, you know, Fulham didn't have a shot from in our area in the whole of the first half. I think a lot of their shots and corners came in the kind of last 8 minutes where, you know, we thought the world might end at some point. And so when I look back at it, I think it's one of the most perfect away performances you can get, really. We soaked up pressure. We didn't really see many good chances from Fulham for the vast majority of the game until the kind of final third. We really soaked the pressure up well and scored on the counter, which is all you can really ask for in those scenarios. So really, really, I think accomplished clinical away performance.
True or false, the Forest fans owned the Fulham fans. Half their stadium is closed down and the Forest fans took this match over.
Another one for the London trickies, I think. I think they had an absolute belter of a day out. Speaking to a few of my buddies back home, sounds like they had a real, real, real good time.
Just a note I made after this goal by Graben, he sure looks a lot faster after he nets one, kind of like a dog after he takes a crap, right? He just looks fast.
as far as parallels go, hey, can I just say though, Graben definitely seems to have gotten better now that he started smiling.
Exactly. How about, let's go over the smiling aspect of our players. How about Dawson? That guy's into every match, and it just, I tell you what, he looks like he's the most passionate guy on the team right now, and I think it's infectious. No?
You can't be a good player. You can't be a good player if you're not smiling. I mean, Forest legends have taught us this, so.
Okay.
Yeah. The more smiling we can see, the better. You guys, Dan, you might, I don't want to date you here, Dan. I know you might be old enough to remember when Dawson broke into the Forest team and he was playing alongside the legend that is Des Walker. And every single game, Dawson had a smile on his face because I think he had the "I can't believe I'm here" kind of mentality. And that does seem to be pretty prevalent in our team today. So excited to see that. Excited to see guys enjoying their football.
That's very kind, Mark. I actually remember Steve Chettle breaking into the first team.
Oh, yes. I'm high-fiving you virtually.
Yes, I'm I think I sit somewhere in between the group. Jordan's still showing me up, but I sneak into the true definition of a millennial, but begrudgingly so.
Yeah, I think the reason most of the guys have a smile on their face in a team right now is they've made it through the 45 they've got to get through to get on the pitch. So I think that's probably more a sigh of relief than anything else.
I could say this too, just after my neighbor is a Brighton fan, and they're definitely missing Anthony Lockhart. That guy was all over the place.
He's class, man. Honestly, if I was to have like a crush on a player that doesn't play for Forest, it would be Anthony Lockhart. Like, he's phenomenal. But we kept him quiet. He looked dangerous, but
He's also the star of one of my favorite all-time football moments, which I don't know. Can anyone guess?
I'm guessing the playoff semi-final second leg missed penalty. Watford go up the other end, score, make it through to the playoff final.
It certainly was. One for you, Cumber, if you get the opportunity. Watford-Leicester playoff. Last minute of the game, penalty to win it. He misses it straight down the other end. Watford score.
Yeah, absolute amazing.
Probably the best 2 minutes of football from a kind of an objective, neutral point of view you'll ever see.
I'm not sure we're neutral. Leicester were involved.
Right.
Well, yeah, from my point of view, completely biased, but I feel even if we're neutral,
pretty good. All right. So just at this point in the podcast, we're through Fulham. Forest facts right now, unbeaten away from home, which is fantastic. Grabon is just bawling, which is a good thing. Yes or no, Warhol and Dawson are pretty solid right now. Lolly's doing great. New players that are making the starting 11 are showing good quality. And let's be honest, Lamucci is making a difference. Is that right, Mark?
He is. Yeah. I mean, I think to a certain extent, the jury's still out, only because, and I know we're going to come on to this, we saw a completely different Forest in the Charlton game. And I tweeted out after the Fulham game, can the real Nottingham Forest please stand up? So I think there's still some work to do. We've seen both ends of the spectrum from this team, and you know, within a few games. But yes, Mucci does seem to be having a positive effect. And again, whisper it. I think something might be happening at the City Ground.
Possibly. I was texting you guys the same thing. I'm like, this could be the most positive podcast that we have all year, unless we're on some spectacular run, right, Jordan?
Yeah, so, you know, when we think about the first 5 games, I already mentioned it was a tough fixture list, but 5 games, 8 points. You know, if you're to do some kind of quick maths to project it out, we're on pace for 73, 74 points. When we look at the last 4 years, 74 gets us in the playoffs for 2 of them, 75 gets us in for the other, and then there's a rogue year in 16, 17 where you needed 80 points to make the playoffs. But it's directionally showing us that, you know, we could be there or thereabouts if we continue this form. The games are easier moving forward when you particularly look at the next few games, and I may live to regret that comment, but I feel like there's something slowly building here. Like I said, the identity's there. People are able to slot in and out of positions. We've got that depth in the squad. And actually, you know, if we continue this momentum, this is going to be a season where we could have something to play for.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
That being said, guys, obviously, Lamucci should have been fired after the Birmingham game. So,
all right, Mark. All right, I think we're losing your connection. All right, so guys, we have a lot of social media questions we're going to get to in a minute. Want to make sure that we touch all these because we asked for questions and we got a bunch of them. So I want to give a lot of time to that. We've got to get Jordan on the road. He has a 2-hour drive after the pod to get to his next Making People Great Again conference. I think that's what you're doing. So.
No, I'm helping a hospital navigate their patient flow.
Oh, it's It's not a self-help seminar or something. Okay, I'm sorry.
Make the hospital great again.
Make the hospital great again. All right.
Isn't that just pointing patients down the corridor? That way.
It's to make sure they're not waiting for 10 hours in the emergency department.
If you want to ever watch a really funny skit, John Mulaney's, there's a horse loose in the hospital. You got to look it up. It's hilarious.
I'll put that down as business development time.
You need to listen to it. It's hysterical. Okay. So let's give a little time to Charlton and the Birmingham match. I don't know what went on in the Valley. Does anybody really know what went on in the Valley? All I know is that we stole a point.
Honestly, can we just like skip this game over a little bit? Like, you got battered. We got absolutely battered to about 60 minutes. Like, I watched like the highlights and the extended highlights and watched some of the game. Charlton could have been easily 4-0 up before we even had a chance. Like, easily. And we'll come to Birmingham where it could have been the reverse. But Mirich actually played really solidly, I thought, throughout the game. He kept us in a few times. He had a great save down low, even though the goal was inevitable. The Charlton goal scorer looked like a tall, lanky Brit Asombalonga, but Uncle Albert delivered again. We stole the equaliser. But honestly, the amount of crosses that came in from Charlton, the goal was inevitable. And we're lucky it was only one, really. And, you know, it's a sign of a good team to grab a point when you're absolutely outplayed like that. A ropey start for the London tricky away days, but I think Fulham offset that for them.
Guys, I mean, Mirich, once again, he has kicked the ball straight out of bounds. I don't know. He did it three times during this game because I was keeping a tally. that's my thing now. It's like a drinking game with Mirich. Did he kick it straight out of bounds? Yes. Okay, drink.
So that's why you were incomprehensible after that Charlton game, eh?
Other reasons too. But anyways, distribution is not very good. I didn't see much from Cash or Grabon during that game. They put on a passing clinic. It felt like there was a 7-year-old playing FIFA for the first time, just mashing buttons and passes flying all over the place. I don't know. I just didn't see much, and I really wanted to skip over this match. It was a point, and we're happy to get it, and that's about it, right?
So I think the two things that worried me in this game, which I'm hoping we don't see again, that led to a lot of those issues were we just got dominated on their right-hand side, right? And I think Lamucci was asked about it afterwards and he kind of skipped over it and went, well, yeah, but they were better everywhere. But if you look at where the goal came from and that first half, there was something going on where they'd been told, and I think Robinson specifically was looking at the bench a couple of times. He's like, guys, am I supposed to be going out wide or is Amiobi supposed to be coming back and I'm supposed to be coming inside? A world where Amiobi is your left-hand side defender is a world where you're going to give goals up. It's not his position. It's not his natural position. You can tell he didn't want to be there. On the right-hand side, we had Cash in front of Jenkinson. So you have two people who have been playing defensive-minded positions. And I think the thing that worried me was less so much as you're always going to have these situations where a team outthinks you or something comes up. It's more the fact that it just was not changed for 45 minutes. There wasn't something where someone came across and went, Robinson, get yourself out left and we'll put Watson deeper or do something about it. So the only thing that worried me was the Charlton dominance lasted for 45 minutes rather than 20 minutes. And then we kind of cut that right-hand side off. I'm hoping we don't see it again. The other thing was the Charlton crowd knew that Mirich was under pressure. You heard them. You kind of heard that. And that was my other concern, which is I'm just hoping going to away games now, he's not the person that, you know, the home crowd at our away games straight away go, this guy is dodgy. Let's get on his back. Because I think there's a quick way for him out the door in January if that happens. And I prefer him to be a success than not.
Yeah, just I think you made excellent observations there, Dan. I would just add to that that I was concerned with the lack of pressing all over the field. I don't know why we stood off Charlton and why we played so very deep. I recognise it's an away game and we're probably looking at counter-attacking. But, you know, against Fulham, we saw the team pick their right moments. We saw them press at the appropriate times and get their just desserts. And the fact that it took the Mooch, like you said, 45 minutes to address that. That's why I said that the jury's still out a little bit on him. At the beginning of the season, I questioned his tactical ability and his motivational skill. And I suggested that when Forest are struggling in the first half of a game, it'll be interesting to see what kind of change we see in the second half. First half wasn't good enough. he should have been addressed more quickly. That being said, you've got to give him credit for what he did in the dressing room at halftime. Because certainly, although it wasn't a massive sea change, it was enough of one in the second half to get us a toehold in the match and ultimately get us a point that arguably we didn't deserve.
All right, so that's the Charlton game, and we have Birmingham to kind of recap. It was a 3-0 win. It was fun to watch. Birmingham's pretty bad.
That's a great summary. I think you can leave it at that.
It looked terrible.
They were abysmal. They were fodder, utter fodder. So, you know, when I first saw the team that was announced, I thought, here we go. 3 central defensive midfielders. What have we done with our starting lineup? Has Sabri lost the plot? You know, all those thoughts start to run in your head. And given we had a few dodgier results earlier in the season, I thought this could be the start of a downward spiral, if I'm really honest. But Howie proved us wrong. You know, Watson, Sau and Semedo were phenomenal in midfield, absolutely dominated the game. This was the kickstart of Lolly and Robinson again. I think Lolly's celebration was phenomenal. I think probably one of the best Forest celebrations we've had since the Zach Clough shush against Derby a couple of seasons ago. So Watson, Sau and Semedo were phenomenal in midfield, absolutely solid, dominated the game. And then again, Lolly just and has kicked on following that. You know, I think he had a stuttering start to the season, but Lolly and Robinson, again, I'll reiterate, what gave them a bit of a lambasting after the Leeds game, but I think they've really come back into things now. Graben got a goal, and that's really kickstarted his kind of goal-scoring tally again from the Lolly cross. And then, you know, again, we score from a corner, and we look at all these games, suddenly Forest have got goals from corners, which is like an unheard-of relic in our history. And, you know, really, really happy we're starting to get some attacking threat. And, yeah, could have had many more goals. Amiobi, Graben, Mir all had great, great chances. And, you know, we sat at the bar in Toronto, the Toronto Trickies, thinking, hey, that could have been 7-8, 9-0. And we watched the rugby, which was a similar score after.
Yeah, guys, the Lolly flying around the field was very awesome to see. He was just kind of having his way the entire match. Amiobi was awesome. Mirich, he was almost man of the match because he didn't have to touch the ball until about the 70th minute. I don't think he had a shot even near him until 20 minutes to go in the match. So he did really well. My man of the match for that match was Lolly. He was just everywhere running hard forward. Birmingham looked awful though. I mean, that's just all there is to it.
Yeah, Lolly wasn't bad for a player that apparently was injured just before the game.
Right.
Right. So,
you know, yeah. He's going against his rivals as a Villa fan, boy, a Villa fan. And hey, did he put on a show?
Yeah, that was curious. So I have a question for the group. Why is it that Watson now has become the new favorite player to vilify in a Forest shirt, sort of following hot on the heels, as I saw on social media, of Ben Osborne, James Perch, Scott Gemmell, other lads who put in a shift and most fans appreciate, but there's always this small minority that get vocal about particular players and hone in. Watson seems to be the latest whipping boy. Why is that?
He's the worst player on the team, Mark.
Oh, Dan. Daniel.
Look, there's always going to be the worst player on the team. Now, I agree that can't get on someone's back just for the sake of having someone to get on the back of. But my personal take on it, if you watch him against Charlton and to a degree against Fulham, the Fulham performance was solid, but I think there's been an overreaction the other way to him being, you know, the next Makalele or something, because ultimately he does a bit of a job, but he's playing essentially as a third central defender. And I think it's all about opportunity cost for me, which is, if you have him there, yes, you at the end of the game, you say, well, he did some decent stuff. If you don't have him there, it means you've got an opportunity to have Bostock in or another player who can, I think, personally right. Can do more. So for me, it's not he's the worst player ever and, you know, we should be booing him. It's more of, do I really think with the squad we've got, he warrants a, you know, place in a starting 11 for 5 of the first 7 games? And personally, I still don't think he does. That's not to say I think he's a bad player. I just think we've got better options.
And I think that you've hit the nail squarely on the head. I think that's the issue. I think it's comparatively, he's not the strongest player, and Forest fans would rather see alternatives. But Corey would argue with you that he's the worst player on the squad. That surely must go to Mirich.
Well, anyways, let's talk about, is he the best worst player or the worst best player? There's a difference, right?
My head hurts. What was that?
I know.
Yeah, so when we look back at across all four games, three wins and a draw is remarkable. And, you know, I think a really, really good testament to things starting to come together. And, you know, just wanted to shout out an Instagram and Twitter page. Our glorious banners have released some amazing photos over the past four games. Yeah, so shout out to Simon for that page. That's been a really, really cool addition to the social media feeds.
Thanks to everybody for leaving comments on our Twitter questions. Twitter got a lot of response, and we have questions, guys. So we're kind of going to blow through some of these because there's quite a lot of people wanting some answers. From the Bermuda Trickies, do we have to start using the word "you" undroppable for Watson?
Do you want me to answer that one? So first of all, Bermuda Trickies, shout out to those guys. We worked out that across North America, between our different branches, they're 5,500 miles from the Hawaiian branch.
Wow.
I think we've got a fair spread of supporters around the place. But as far as Watson goes, as I said before, I think it's less this kind of, oh, he shouldn't be in the team, he's making mistakes or anything else. It's more you just look at the wealth of you know, the depth we've got in midfield, and I think it's often people want to see something different. It might not necessarily be proven to be better, but when you've got new players that have come in, especially Bostock, I've been seriously impressed with him. And if you look at Derby, we played them without Watson, and I think we just had that bit more freedom in the middle, and I think it's opened up a bit of space at the back. So I hope he's not undroppable, I have to say, because I think we could do a lot more with other options in there. But I still think he makes the smaller squad, as Jordan referred to it as, you know, the kind of 23 or so. I think he fits in that, but I'm hoping by the end of the season that he hasn't played every match.
Jordan Lamouchi described him as the team quarterback. That sounds like he's undroppable. What about you?
Yeah, this one is a hard one for me, because I think, you know, Watson's solid. I would call him solid, and I think he serves a purpose for certain games where, you know, there isn't as much tempo, you know, teams aren't using, you know, where teams aren't counter-attacking. Those type of games, I think he fits well when the tempo is slower and he can dictate play a bit, can ping a few balls. I think he thrives in those games. The issue is in the Championship, I don't think there are that many of them. But do I think we need to start using undroppable for him in Lamouchi's mindset? Potentially. I think we're starting to see that trend. And, you know, I think it's opportunity cost. I think we've spoken about it well, where, you know, we'll go into our, what do we think our best starting 11s are later in the podcast. But again, I feel like someone's missing out because of that spot, that I think it has more adaptability to the various different scenarios we'll play in the Championship. But really good question from Ben. So he's a former Toronto Trickie, now in Bermuda. Yeah, we definitely need to sort a little trip out there.
That's a rough job to move to Bermuda. Somebody's got to do it. Mark, let's move on to a different question. With Carvalho and Yates returning from injury, do you see them working their way into the starting 11? This is from Dean Jones.
Personally, I hope so. I think Carvalho is going to need to bide his time just a little bit because of some of the performances from other guys, similar players that I mentioned earlier. So the Lollies and the Amiobis of this world. But I think there's a lot of love for King Carvo, both among the coaching staff and certainly in the terraces. Yates is a player I rate very highly. Again, he seems to be one who last season, Forest fans were loving en masse. He's one of our own and all that. But I've seen a few tweets recently suggesting that, you know, he's not a very good player. Some folks, again, likening him to Watson, kind of trying to tar him with that same brush, which I'm very surprised about. I mean, he was given his chance last season. He grabbed the nettle and arguably was Forest's best player the latter half of last season. I think Lolly pipped him. But for a young lad, getting his first run in the first team, I thought he did remarkable. So yes, I'm hoping to see him back in and amongst the starting 11 here soon.
All right, Dan, I got one for you. It's JD on Twitter. We got a lot of attention for the build-up to that great Fulham goal. Do you think after watching a few games now, are we something special? Or was that just good players having a few good minutes on the ball?
Yeah, it's a good question, right? Because I think it always comes back in the interviews with Lamouchi to, you know, when people say, oh, that was a good game, or you played a good, you know, half or 20 minutes, it comes down to consistency. I don't think we're going to be banging those kind of goals in every week. But I think we've got the squad to be capable of doing it. The thing for me is getting the tactics right week in, week out. I think there's a lot of, especially preseason, there's a lot of focus on buying players and you know, getting better players in. Ultimately, the players you've got to play in a certain way. And I think the style that we're playing and the type of wingers we've got and the way that we play with holding midfielders, you've got to get that right against every team. And I think it's now, more so than it has been for the last few years, it's going to be pressure on the coach to do the right thing with the squad. Because I think we've always had excuses the last few years that we've had some dead wood. We need to get better players in. No one's mentioned Colback for like 3 months now, right? Everyone was saying we had no chance of finishing top half without getting him back. And suddenly we've brought some players in that maybe people were suspicious of that, you know, admittedly after five league games have started to look good.
All right, Jordan, we're going to start with you on this one. This is our last question from Darren A. And we'll go around the horn on this. We don't need to get too far into it, but who is likely to continue in goal? Is it Samba in?
Oh man, I am 100% Samba in right now. I'm going to get his name on the back of a jersey this year because I like the color blue as well. It's a pretty neat shirt. It's probably our best one this season. I think he's a legend. Honestly, cult hero for me already. The name Samba is just class. I can't see us playing Mirich ahead of him right now. I think he's earned his place. He's played really well, performed really. We're just going to have to take the hint. The Mirich wages, if the rumor is to be true, that if he's not starting, we're going to have to, you know, pay full wages rather than half. Like for £2 million, that honestly, I think that could be the difference between playoffs or not.
Mark, the only way Mirich gets back in a match for us is if Pep Guardiola calls and makes it happen, right?
I'm 100% with Jordan on this one. You know, when Wayne Rooney broke onto the scene, everyone in England was calling him the White Pelé. Samba is the Black Shilton. I agree with Jordan 100%. Cult hero in the making. Looks remarkably solid. I'd still like to see Mirich take to the field. He's a young lad. He's there to get minutes. He's there to grow and develop into a top quality professional goalkeeper, which I think he has the potential to be. I don't mind him doing that on Forest's ticket occasionally because he's not a terrible goalkeeper. He's just inexperienced. But yeah, Samba, number one.
I was just on the Mirich thing. I think Mirich will start against Preston. I think Lamucci wanted to get Samba in. And I think now is this perfect opportunity in a home game against a team that might not be considered that strong to put Mirich back in. If we had a big away game or if we had like the Arsenal game, I think he'll go with the experience. But I've got a feeling he's going to revert back to Mirich and cross his fingers that he has a decent game.
If he plays Mirich on Saturday, I am putting my house on both teams to score in that game because there's no way he's keeping a clean sheet.
Okay, so Jordan, do you have the recap of how bad that we know you don't? Okay, great.
Can we just quickly go through them? Can people remember their things? Because we'll have the email up for when we do it later now.
I don't remember, so let's just give our predictions.
okay, no, so I'll do a quick one. So, yeah, across the predictions, Mark and I got every single one wrong. I think
yes. Corey,
you, so me and Mark are doing phenomenally well. Like Mark's still on 0 points and I've only got one result right. And rather than the actual scoreline. So I think we're doing pathetically well. And yeah, I don't want to give Corey all the credit right now because he's absolutely whipping us right now in the predictions.
That just demonstrates you don't need to do anything. You don't need to know anything about football to be good at fantasy football. That's all that shows.
Or it shows that we probably don't know as much as we think we do, Mark, which I'm more worried about.
It's pretty funny.
You seem to overlook my third place, Jordan.
Behave, Dan. And now when we look at the table, we've got Chicago occupying the top two spots. What I will say, though, on that is Kiel Porter. Huge shout out to him. He got a hat trick. The last three games, he's all predicted the right result. Props to them. But yeah, I'm just in a bit of a despair right now about this whole prediction thing. I think it was, you know, you asked us far too early to do 11 games. Like, there's no chance I'm going to do really well in it.
It's a lot of excuses, Jordan. Let's go ahead and give some more predictions. So, Dan, we're going to let you lead off here. Go ahead and we're going to do two matches on this one. We've got Preston North End, and then we have Swansea.
Oh, okay. So Preston, I've gone for in the North American Prediction League. I've gone for 2-1. Part of that is because I think I made the prediction at the beginning, but also I'm going to stick with Jordan's sentiment, which is, I believe, Muric will play. So probably no clean sheet. But yeah, 2-1 Forest in that one. I can't remember actually what I put down for Swansea, but that, I'm actually back for that game. It's the other side of the international break. It's away. Swansea look pretty strong. So I'd be happy with a draw. I think standard, win the home games, try and get something from the away. So win at home to Preston, draw away at Swansea.
Yeah, so I'm similar. So I must have thought back in July that Samba was going to play on Saturday. And I went for a 2-0 home win against Preston. So likewise, you know, if Muric plays, I'm going to revise that to a 2-1 win. And then for Swansea away, I went with 0-0. I think it could be just one of those, like, two good teams just kind of hashing out a little 0-0. And I wouldn't mind us, you know, getting a draw away from home. So I'm probably going to stick with the 0-0 because I think our defence has been solid and I think Samba makes his return in Swansea.
Okay, Mark, let's hear it.
Well, I have no idea what my original predictions were, and I actually sat in a darkened side street here with no access to my notes, which are back at my hotel room. So before I give my predictions, though, Corey, question for you. Who do you think the strongest Preston is going to be this season? Is it going to be Preston North End, or is your money on Preston West End?
I think the Southeast.
So I will go for a Forest win against Preston, 2-0. And then... I'm going to hang my balls out there, guys. I should go probably for a Swansea win, or if I were being charitable, a draw. I'm going Forest 1-0. I know, I'm mental. But look where I am in the table. It's time to take some risks. So first one, 2-1. Second, 1-0.
Does anyone want their actual predictions? Because I've got them up here.
Yeah, we know
what it's going to be. Rubbish. They're going to be rubbish.
Well, Dan, I can tell you I don't have us losing until April, so I know where we are with that.
I think Mark's got us losing. No, that can't be right.
Oh, I never have Forest losing.
Preston and then Swansea. Oh, yeah, you've got us beating Swansea 3-0. Wow.
Yeah, well, to be fair, okay, let me defend myself. Nobody expected Swansea. So they are the outside runners. Nobody expected Swansea to be up near the top of the table. Everyone was thinking Cardiff might bounce back. Leeds, obviously, hot favourites. Swansea have come out of nowhere. So, didn't I just say Forest would win? So, but I'm just going with a 1-0.
How about I give you my new predictions and you see if I match it?
Corey, we're twins on one of your predictions. Again, we had one on in Fulham before.
I know. Here we go. Preston, I've got a 2-0 win at the City Ground. This is the complex one. I had to pull some stats on Swansea. They scored 11 goals so far in the championship. They're second spot in the table right now, which is crazy. Forest has scored 8 goals, and we're 3 points behind Swansea right now, currently in 9th position. A lot of people in between. Get in, boys. Forest, 2-1 on the road. We stay undefeated.
Rate that. Rate that a lot. So can I just, on these predictions, can I just give Ken a shout out? You know Ken, our friend that thinks Forest are going to lose every week? He's actually got us winning against Preston 1-0. So shout out to Ken for being really optimistic about one of the worst teams in the league, actually us at home, and actually getting finally 3 points in his prediction. So Ken, thank you ever so much for that.
Dan, what were my predictions when, you know, I guess before...
So you had 2-0 to Forest against Preston.
The Samba effect.
Yes.
I believe that's correct. So I'm just getting my tables lined up. And you had let's have a look. And you had a 2-0 win for Forest away at Swansea.
Okay, Samba effect again.
Yep, it is. So I did have 2 wins there. So I'm just giving up a goal on the road. Swansea does look good. So I think that's probably the reason I adjusted the score a little bit.
Can we name the podcast the Samba Effect?
Yes. We've got 2 members of the board of directors for the North American chapters with us right now. Why don't you guys give us an update on what has been going on? All the membership packets are out and apparently received.
Apart from the Canadian ones, which will be delivered by me next week.
By Mountie.
Like Santa, like a membership Santa coming down your chimney.
Actually, so we've run out of members packs. They were that popular, genuinely. So we sat down and had an informal WhatsApp chat that ran for several days around how much stuff to get done. And we've been genuinely blown away by the response. So we've sent out everything we've got, we're cobbling together a few more at the moment because we're still getting a few day by day. So really appreciate people kind of jumping on it and having a bit of energy for it. I guess the big news, Jordan, feel free to jump in, but I think the big news is we've just launched the merch store online. So you can now head to nffcna.com, click on the merchandise section, and there is a selection of very nice t-shirts with local branch logos on them. We'll be adding more as we're able to. There are some other bits and pieces, and we have our new famous four branding. So the four big North American players that have been at Forest, available on a mug, a very nice mug that you can take to work or anywhere else. So I'll stop the sales pitch, but get to the website, take a look, and if there's anything that takes your fancy, then add it to your cart. And if you're a member, get in touch with us and we'll drop you the discount code so you get it a bit cheaper than everyone else.
I'm looking forward to seeing the new Austin Branch t-shirt on there pretty soon. So the poll was overwhelming. Apparently I'm supposed to start the Austin Branch, so we'll call this the official launch. Austin is launched. Send all of your money to me at turner.mark@gmail.com. I promise you nothing in return. Thank you.
And we want to sign off by saying thank you to our sponsor, Boot Bags. I believe my daughter has hers ready to go for the season. I think I saw Dan on social, had his during a work break at his new soccer facility, his work installed, which was outstanding. Jordan, you got your boots in a bag?
I got mine this week. They arrived on Monday. Used them already tonight. I had six aside earlier, and they led me on to a 5-0 win. So solid start for Boot Bags.
The and, Samba effect.
Yes, and Mark.
The Samba effect, wearing my Adidas Sambas.
Got two questions for Mark. The boot bag has been installed for your daughter, right? She's using it.
Yes, sir.
And you got rid of your Austin Villa koozie, right?
Yeah, that's on eBay.
it's currently has no bids.
Hey, I've got to tell you that Boot Bags is getting a lot of traction here in Colorado. The Switchbacks actually started promoting it on behalf of their two players. So I know their company is really starting to take off, and I'm really excited for the boys. And I actually reached out to them to see if they'd do a little piece for us that we could use on the pod. So hopefully be on the listen out for that in the next episode or two.
That'll be fantastic. Definitely interview those guys and let's get some feedback on, you know, the history behind it and why they thought it was a great thing for being invented. I think it's a cool thing. My daughter's got all her stuff in it already and she's ready to go.
Speaking of interviews, do you want to make a bit of an announcement?
Sure.
Very cool. Okay. So after several weeks of teasing, we finally got to line up schedules. And now that he's returned from his vacation, I'm delighted to say that I will have an opportunity in the next week or so to talk with David Jackson of BBC Radio Nottingham fame. And we'll be discussing all things Forest with Jacko. So yeah, look forward to chatting to him and then bringing that to our listeners, hopefully in the next episode of Forest Fancast.
Yep. And we'll have a Preston and Swansea review, a Samba update. Make sure that you guys, if you're listening and you're not a member, support the North America chapter. Go to the website, NFFCNA. Become members and support the movement here in the States. I just got on the train, but the people that have been on the podcast today have been driving the train in their areas for years. And I'm excited to kind of learn from them. And if you're a new listener and a new Forest fan, send us some questions because I have questions and I'll continue to ask them. And we want to learn more about kind of what we missed, right?
Yeah, I'm really excited for people to also leave their reviews, continue building on the really strong Brian Rice start, all these niche Forest players, just for Corey's education. So I can't wait for people to roll in, you know, the past, you know, legends of Forest and the Eugene daddies and so what. Please present them so Corey can continue to build his Forest knowledge.
We can't let an episode go by without saying, Kevin Campbell, where are you? We're still waiting on you.
That's right. We're waiting. And I think we have some feelers out there for Kevin. I give it six episodes before he actually jumps on the pod with us.
So I think if we don't get him on in six episodes, we replace him with Nikola Jurkan.
I'll look him up.
Yeah, we should probably try and actually reach out to him because we're playing Arsenal, right, in the cup. We should play on that a bit as a Forest and Arsenal kind of legend. Maybe there's an angle for us here. Can we believe?
Where's Jason Lee? Someone must know the taxi he's driving.
Let's end on a high note and be very supportive of our Derby counterparts 15 miles away. You guys know the words. It's always look on the bright side of life. All right. Jordan, have a good trip out of town and be safe. Mark, that's a cop behind you in the alley wanting to know what you're doing in your car talking
on
the phone.
It actually is. Stay there a second. Yes, hang on a second. Let me put my video on. As I was sat here, a police officer pulled over a car. So I'm shitting myself a little bit because I'm sat here in this little, like, tucked in on the side of the street, like, he's going to walk over here in a minute. So,
Mark, roll down your window and say, what do I get for $5?
I might wind down my window and go, you Reds!
Always look on the right side of life.
Come on, boy, cheer up.
Always look on the right side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
First things at me, see, you know.
Always look on the right side of life.
What you got to lose? You know, you come from nothing. What you lost?
Always look on the right side of life.
Nothing will come from nothing, you know what I say?
Always
cheer up, you old bugger. Come on, give us a quiz. There you are. See? The end of the film. Incidentally, this record's available
always
in the foyer.
Always look on the right.
Some of us want to live as well, you know. All right, it's a lot. Let's get this place.
This episode for the Forest Fancast, supported by Boot Bags, unique and modern shoe bags, fashionable, durable, washable, online, bootbags.us.